So our readings today certainly give us this really strong sense of the joy of the Lord. And what brings you joy? What's an experience that just, you know, the joy just begins to kind of bubble away and you're able to really not do anything other than just experience it? You know, that sense where it's not just on the surface, we feel it in the depths of us, and kind of begins to just bubble forth, and it's almost impossible, you know, to not to laugh, not to smile, not to experience that. You know, maybe it's when you first meet, you know, one of your newborn baby in your family. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I got to meet one of my new grand nieces, and you know, just that wonder of seeing both her and but also, you know, the parents, and just the way they're kind of interacting with their new child. Just that joy, that wonder, that is quite lovely, and, you know, quite a beautiful thing. Of course, you know, for many of us, joy can be a very temperamental kind of thing as well. You know, the weather can really impact, you know, upon us. You know, sad seasonal affectivity disorder is a real thing. You know, that experience of not being able to really you know, make sense of what's happening when the weather is up and down, and, you know, all of that. It does, you know, change us and impact upon us. But I remember when I first, you know, came to faith, even though, you know, baptized as a Catholic and going to Mass every Sunday with my family. But it was through the ministry of these two priests in Bega Parish, you know, one of them back in the day when even a little parish like Bega had two priests. And both of these priests were, you know, very dynamic in their ministry, wonderful preachers, wonderful musicians and singers. And they brought this real dynamism to the parish, you know, introducing new prayer groups and new music. And it was a time of great revival and you know, wonderful experience as a teenager, coming to faith and then experiencing that there was so much life within the parish as well. And they would often kind of talk about this first reading that we have today from Zephaniah, you know, the God who wants to dance, the God who delights when we dance, the God who's wanting us to experience that joy and wonder in His presence. I think we're much more used to a God who's kind of very dour, very right and proper, a God who, you know, is just expecting us just to sit in our own pew, not to stray, not to move, do anything else, just to say the right things at the right time, and that's all that we kind of expect of God. And so often in scriptures, that's not the image that we get of God. And a God is this wonderfully dynamic character, a God who's wanting to engage in our lives, God who wants to be part of everything that we're experiencing. And we might think that the passage that we've read from Zephaniah, you know, is typical of the whole of the short book. There's only three chapters in this book of prophecies. And yet it's not. You know, it's written in a time when the community of Israel was experiencing such darkness, so much tribulation and trials. And so the rest of the book is full of condemnations and judgments, as so many of the prophetic books are, attacking especially the leaders. You know, it's always the leaders who have the most to answer for in any situation or circumstance. And so for Zephaniah to find any joy, any light in that time of darkness is quite extraordinary. You know, something similar is happening in our second reading today. Again, we might think, well, Paul must be experiencing just this profound period of joy in his life. But he actually begins Philippians by telling us that I write this letter to you in chains. So he's during one of his many periods of imprisonment that he experienced. And so for him to experience this joy in a really dark time in his life is again a reminder that joy isn't based simply on external factors. I mean, John the Baptizer, John the Immerser, gives us some clues into how we might experience that joy and that wonder when people ask him. You know, they see this transformation in John. They see this freedom of someone who is gone away from the temple, away from the city, out into the wilderness, and leading people into this experience of the metanoia, the change of mind, the change of heart, of turning away from everything that has bound them, everything that has restricted them, into this place of freedom. And John tells them that the way into this joy, one of the first ways that we need to experience this joy, is the freedom that we find when we act with justice, when we live with integrity, when we're able to recognize not just our own little situation, our own little need, but we're able to see the needs of others as well. And that we're able to offer into their lives the extra tunic that we have, that we're not going to exact more than our fee as our tax collectors, that we're not going to try and extort more than our fair wage, that we're going to treat everyone with equal dignity, that we're going to make sure that everyone experiences that sense of welcome, that sense of wonder in the presence of God. You know, in these final days of Advent, we're invited into this experience to recognize that yes, the Lord is offering us this profound joy, this transformation that is available to us, but He's inviting us into that journey along the way of justice, along the way of recognizing the dignity of others, to focus not on ourselves, but on those around us, so that we can experience joy and wonder through service and through acts of hospitality and through acts of justice. So let's indeed be people that embark upon the dance of God, that let the joy of the Lord fill us with joy and wonder and delight. But let's do it along the way of caring and serving those around us.